What I want to talk about today is persecution. A couple months ago, we went and Glenn and Sandy and Megan and I, we went and seen the movie, and it was kind of one of those one-day things that Savoy 16 had, and it was called The Insanity of God. And it was just a huge, I mean, just powerful movie, and it dealt with persecution around the world. And the movie is based on a book by Nick Ripken, and what it does, it was basically talking about his family and how they were called to go to these different countries, and they started out in Somalia, which a lot of people heard, you know, about Somalia and the things that go on over there and all that stuff. So it's, you know, when you get called to go to a place like that, you know, it's kind of unnerving sometimes, and you got to basically, you know, figure out whether to actually answer the call or what. And they, throughout the movie, once he goes through all this stuff, I mean, all the trials they went through, while they were in Somalia, one of their kids got, I mean, really sick and wound up losing his life over it and all this stuff. So they really kept asking themselves, and they had this question that just kept going on throughout the whole movie. And they were going around all these different countries like Russia and, you know, and like the Soviet Union back in the day, and China and all these places, and talking to all these people that were going through all of this stuff just because of their faith. And the question that they kept just repeating over and over and over again that's just really spoken in my heart the last couple of months is, Jesus worth it? You know, that question is just, I mean, for everything. I mean, there was even times where, you know, we were out super late, and you know, we were out late for that movie that night, and we had a lot of stuff going on that weekend. I was like, you know, we actually thought about not coming to church the next day because we had too much going on. And I just kept rolling through my head, is Jesus worth it? You know, okay, so we didn't get any sleep that night, or, you know, something happened, but is Jesus worth it? You know, I mean, so it's really been definitely out there. Today's scripture I want to read comes in 2 Timothy, and it's 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 12. It's not a real big passage. It says, "You, however, have followed my teachings, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecution and sufferings that have happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet for them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desires to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." That's one of the things that I think we forget about. And when, like, you're a new believer, they don't throw at you. You know what I mean? We get out there and we've accepted Christ, and it's all, you know, we think it's going to be great. And just one of the big things that I think they forget, and I forget a lot of times, is the part number 12. "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." So I was reading that, and after seeing the movie and kind of going through all this stuff, I've really thought a lot about our world, our country, the way things have changed, you know, just in my lifetime, you know, and before my lifetime, how there's just so much that goes on, you know, that, you know, there's things that are offensive to people, or you know, persecution isn't just in, you know, in the Christian world. I mean, there's a lot of things that when I remember growing up that were things that were persecution, that kind of represented hate and persecution and division. That was a big one, you know. They persecuted against Jews, you know, they were the ultimate race, they say, with Hitler and everything. Another one that it was, you know, as growing up, to basically everybody, that I thought was very offensive was that, you know, they persecuted against blacks and basically other races because the white people were the big race, and, you know, that was extremely offensive. That was an offensive thing for, you know, the black people were kind of the opposite of the KKK, so that was more offensive to white people. But I think offensive to everybody, those were offensive to everybody that actually had, you know, good senses. But then it's like you go through now and you think about how much the world has changed and how society has changed and how people's thoughts have changed. And even in our own country, one of the things that has really just shocked me over the past, 10 or 15 years or whatever, is how images of division or persecution or hatred has changed. I mean, who would have thought that one day in our country that we live in, that would be offensive? But you watch the news and you watch how schools are like, well, we can't fly the American flag because we have Hispanic kids, or we have Muslim kids, or we have, all these kids around the world that are, we don't want to offend anybody. To me, that represents everything that that America stands for, as far as immigration, as far as people coming from other countries and all that stuff. That right there gave them the right to come here. People think it's offensive. I've seen articles and I've read stories where people are told that they live in certain housing areas, they can't fly a flag outside their house because it's against the rules. Our country was founded on that. We've had athletes right now that are stand up there and they say that, although the flag represents repression and racism because of when it was formed and all this stuff. There's a lot of people that have fought and gave their lives for that right there. And then you get into the big ones that's offensive to a lot of people these days, and they really like to throw up the cross. People like to wear their cross necklaces and all that stuff. I've actually had a friend that just lost his job because he refused to take his cross necklace off, or he refused to put the little scripture thing on his desk away, and they said that they're worried about people in the office getting upset. I mean, that right there represents a lot. Some people, it's a decoration, it's a piece of jewelry, it's a picture on their wall, but to a lot of people, that's a lot right there. Another one they talk about that everybody kind of says is, breeds hatred and it's bigotry and all this stuff, is the Bible. Because somebody read a scripture about homosexuality, or somebody who believes in the Bible doesn't believe in homosexuality, now all of a sudden they're a bigot. Because in this country, apparently, the Bible is offensive. It is offensive in a lot of countries. But the nice thing about the flag and the cross and the Bible is in America right now, they're not illegal. And that's one of the things that as a Christian and as somebody who believes in the Bible and the cross and the flag, at this very moment, and hopefully it stays that way, they're not illegal. The Bible is actually illegal in over 50 countries across the world. People are arrested just for possessing a Bible or even a piece of paper that has a scripture on it. People are losing their lives. Some of you might have heard about the American pastor, Saeed Abedini, who spent 3 years in a prison in Iran just for preaching the gospel. And they basically told him that they would set him free if he converted to Islam, their national religion. And he was beaten and he was tortured, all because he wouldn't deny his faith. And I think that's pretty crazy. You got thousands of Christians around the world losing their lives just to spread the gospel. You got the forming of ISIS, here within the last couple of years. And just, you see these images on TV and online and just lining people up and executing them just for believing in God or believing in their faith or living the Bible. You got mothers and fathers forced to watch their kids, executed and tortured, all because of their faith. Fortunately, in America, we deal with persecution a little bit differently. And that's pretty good. I mean, I'm pretty sure we're not going to be lined up and executed because, we want to share our faith with somebody. We're not going to go to jail if we carry our Bibles to school. We're not going to be arrested at the local restaurants if we're caught praying. just over our meals and stuff like that. But I'm not saying Christianity in America is easy. We do face persecution. You know, I mean, there are some things out there. You know, we just recently had the couple that lost basically everything they had because they wouldn't bake a cake for a homosexual couple. So there is persecution in America, but we don't face it like these other countries. And it just breaks my heart to see some of these places that, you know, I mean, to want it so bad to lose your life over. You know, I mean, we don't deal with that. We don't have to do that here. And that, I think, kind of breaks my heart even more for America, because there's so much out there that we forget, that we don't share our faith, you know. And our life's not on the line. And there's people out there willing to die for their faith. But one of the things that we have to remember as a Christian, you know, when we do have all these fears and all this stuff, you know, the biggest thing that has to do with our salvation is the resurrection. You know, the biggest part of the gospel is we believe in a resurrected Christ. We believe that he gave his life for us and died, and then on the third day rose. But I think we skip past a lot of stuff because we want to preach the resurrection. You know, we want to preach that Jesus is alive, and Jesus, you know, he's in our hearts, and he defeated death. But what we really forget is before we can have the resurrection, we have to have a crucifixion. So when you're out there and you've got coworkers, you got family members that are hurting, and they're searching, and they're just looking for answers, and we sit there and we're like, well, I don't want to offend somebody. You know, or if we're walking down the street and you see somebody hurting, or a homeless person or something like that, and we don't want to offend somebody. You got to think, I mean, we live in a country where we have that right to be able to talk to somebody about Christ. We can preach the gospel here in America. We may offend people. We may lose friends, you know, but you just got to constantly remind yourself, is Jesus worth it? That's just the question that has just been on my heart the past couple months. And not just for persecution, not just for everything, for like everything. You know, is Jesus worth it? Because today I'm here to tell you, like I said, you're going to offend people. You're going to lose friends. You're going to be called Bible thumper. You're going to be called holy roller. You're going to be called all sorts of names. You're going to be called a bigot. You're going to be called, you know, all sorts of stuff just because that you believe in what the Bible says and you believe in a God that loves everyone, regardless of their race, their gender, their faith. I mean, we have to accept him, but he still loves us no matter what. And then along with that, you know, is Jesus worth it question, I sit there and I think about, you know, I always have to ask myself, is Jesus worth it? Is Jesus worth it? Is Jesus worth it? And he thought I was. I mean, he bled. He was beaten. He was spit on. He was mocked. Had nails driven through his hands. All because he thought I was worth it. And he thought every one of you was worth it. And the homosexual that you just offended that doesn't like you now, he still thought he was worth it. The Muslim that is against us, Jesus still thought he was worth it. The coworker who you know, you don't want to make things awkward at work, Jesus thought he was worth it. So kind of remember that. And then we get into 2 Timothy 2, 10 through 12. He says, therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal joy, with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, therefore, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. And if we deny him, he will also deny us. So in 10 he says, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. Paul, when he wrote these letters to Timothy, I don't know if there's too many people that have been through here or that are even in the Bible besides the disciples and besides Paul that has faced persecution more than anybody. If you think about a lot of the letters that he wrote in the New Testament were written from prison. And he says that he does it not just for his salvation, but those people out there that are lost and are hurting, for their salvation also. So he thought that because God thought he was worth it, he felt everyone else was worth it also. So that's something to think about when you think about persecution. You know, Paul eventually ended up dying for his faith. You know, Jesus walked with 12 disciples. You know, they all end up dying for their faith. We don't have to worry about that in America. And I'm grateful for that. And I don't know which direction this country's going. And I really hope that everything goes the way that, you know, that was promised. But I do know that there are a lot of Christians in this world. And I do know that there's a lot of people that sit on the bench, and a lot of people that, you know, come to church every Sunday but are afraid to share their faith. I've been there. I mean, I'm just as guilty as anyone else when it comes to not wanting to hurt somebody's feelings, or, oh, I might feel rejected, or, you know. But look what Paul said. You know, they're worth it. Jesus thought you were worth it, and he thought they were worth it. So as I sit and I think about that question that's been going through my head for the last couple months, is Jesus worth it? Is Jesus worth it? Is Jesus worth it? I look at my family and I look at my friends and I watch the news and I see all these people out there. Jesus is worth it. I mean, plain and simple. He gave his life for us. We should be willing to give our life for him. Paul did. The disciples did. Pastors all over the world every day give up their life. I am extremely grateful that we don't have to do that in America right now. But I just hope that if the day comes, I know I hope I have the faith and the strength to do it. So I plan on this going a lot longer, to be honest with you. But that's really all I've got today. And I just pray that everybody just takes that to heart. And that's a question that is really just, and that's what it's all about. Jesus is worth it. And it's haunted me, and I have really used it for a lot of things, because there's a lot of things I don't want to do something, or, you know, if I feel called to do something and I'm just like, man, I don't want to do that today or whatever, and that just, it just keeps going through my head. Well, is Jesus worth it? He did, yeah, I will say that. Yeah, the guy, a friend of mine, he actually worked for a real estate company, and the thing is, he was selling houses and all this stuff, and they told him he just wasn't a fit for the company. And he did end up, he was like nervous, he's like, I don't know what I'm going to do, and within like the next day, he actually got a better job at a bigger company. So God does take care of us, you know, I mean, he is worth it.